broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing. And listen,
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
Thunderstruck. Thunderstruck. And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson. Broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town. Now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, you can go to their website, GogginCold.com. Coming up at 5:35, Ryan Callahan joins us from Knoxville. He's with Go Vols 24/7, part of the 24/7 sports family. But right now, like we love doing every Tuesday around this time, going back to the hotline, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. First of all, Teresa, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend, and as always, welcome back to the show. Hello, Teresa. All right, I think we... Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, I think... Are you auditioning for one of those new commercials?
Which commercial?
Can you hear me now commercials?
Oh, what can we say? Sometimes technology, as awesome as it is, always fails when we need it, Johnny.
I understand. These things happen. Last night, I had a chance. I was on the Scott Farrell show, Farrell on the Bench, on CBS Sports Radio. And it's interesting how folks on a national level are viewing the success, what the Titans are enjoying right now, comparing it to the way that we're playing the wait-and-see game here. And I thought about it today, and I realized, well, they have the Jets. They have the Giants. So compared to what they have to deal with and what they're looking at and comparing to that to the success recently, especially with the Titans, I can see how they would be looking at the Titans a little bit differently than the way we do.
Well, how are they looking at them?
Well, in a positive way. For example, it's like they're taking on Oakland this week, and it was like, no big deal. And it's like, the Titans can't take anybody for granted. You know, it's one of these things where take care of business one game at a time. Don't be already celebrating and hosting a playoff game as the AFC South champs, per se. One game at a time is the best way to approach it with this team.
Well, exactly, but that's because we've been around the Titans for a while. We remember Mike Mularkey had a team that was atop the division, and they went to Arizona and then San Francisco, two teams that on paper should have been wins, with less wins combined than the Oakland Raiders have right now. And the Oakland Raiders are only two back in their division at the moment. And we understand that, we understand that in the past, they have not always handled these situations properly. Now, that said, I do think that it does feel like that we're dealing with a maybe perhaps different Titans team, Johnny, because this team has won four games this season where they've been behind in the fourth quarter or trailed or tied, and they've managed to make the plays to pull out wins. Goal line stand, Logan Ryan interception, Joshua Kalu block. The block team coming through with a 63-yard touchdown on Sunday in Indy, a place where that was just their second win in Lucas Oil Stadium. So, you can look at this from afar and say they're doing everything good. I mean, Derrick Henry, third in the league in rushing. Ryan Tannehill's right at the top of, he's second in this, he's second in that, he's leading, this. So, they're doing, you look at those stats, it's tough not to be impressed. And then, a scoring defense that has jumped up to seventh in the NFL, climbing their way back up to the top five defense. So, nine times this season, that defense has held an opponent to 20 points or less, which, when you've got an offense that now, in Ryan Tannehill's span, since he took over as starter, second most points per game in the NFL in that span. Those are things that get attention and make you think, hey, this is a playoff team.
How about the fact, too, you mentioned Derrick Henry. Since the start of 2017, 2,943 yards. He's got a chance to do something on Sunday that's never been done in NFL history. He's already done this three straight games where he has at least 145 rushing yards and one rushing touchdown. Nobody in NFL history has ever done it four straight games. He has a chance to accomplish this on Sunday in Oakland.
Well, and that's the thing that makes you look and say, wow. And I think, you know, one of the things we were questioning earlier in the season was, why aren't they giving the ball to Derrick Henry more? Because anyone who watched last December, you know, the only question is, what could he start that way? And, you know, he kind of showed early that he was able to run that way, you know, north-south, you know, punish guys, demolish people. And we were all kind of wondering, why aren't you giving him the ball more? And now that you've got a threat of the pass, it does make it tougher. Teams know they got to stop Derrick Henry, but Tannehill is able to throw effectively enough and precise, that word, decisively enough, that you can't just go up there and put nine in the box and say we're gonna bat down the hatches and stop Henry, because they will hurt you down the field. And he's been throwing it. You know, his yards per attempt leads the NFL. That shows that you're willing to throw the ball down the field and take advantage of those wide open spaces. So that's why this offense is suddenly clicking. And when you've got the threat of being able to pass, like Tannehill gives them, that makes Derrick Henry even more effective. And I mean, you know, that fourth and one play on Sunday to me is the one that, you know, kind of signifies just how dangerous he can be. They give him the ball and he gets the first down, and forget it, he's going to the end zone. You know, 13-yard touchdown off a fourth and one play, where instead of just pounding it into the middle, you know, you give him a chance to go out a little bit and find some room, and, you know, that's all he needs. And I'm curious to see where he ends up. I mean, you know, think about this, Johnny. I've had a colleague of mine point out that, you know, if he can keep this up, maybe he has a chance not just at Pro Bowl this year, which when you look at the fact that, well, there's Nick Chubb leading the league right now, but Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey are in the NFC. So you would think that Derrick Henry's got a great chance to go Pro Bowl in for the first time in his career. But also, you know, what he's doing and what he's meant to this offense, All-Pro is not out of the consideration, which, you know, guess what? That's just going to drive up his price.
Well, and I think right now when you think about where he is as far as his rankings, you know, he was second in the league last year and he's third right now. But the fact that, and this is also taken in consideration, he wasn't properly used earlier this season. So if he continues the pace that he's on right now, who knows, he could end up being the leading rusher in the NFL after these last four games. We look at him right now, and I'm going to throw this out to you. You know, it kind of reminds me of back when we had Steve McNair and Eddie George. Who is the MVP right now of this Titans team?
That's a good question, because the way that Derrick Henry has run, I want to say him. But then when I look at how the offensive scoring numbers have jumped, 5-1, you know, what's the difference? Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. So, you know, they've kind of gone hand in hand. And let's face it, before that, Brett Kern is the guy who, you know, kept them alive and, you know, helped. You know, he was the guy who was kind of standing out week in, week out through the first 6 weeks of the season. So it's not an easy thing to do. I think you kind of have to go with at least co-MVPs at this point.
And by the way, too, you brought the Titans defense, and that's something that has not gone unnoticed either from a national standpoint. They totally get what this Titans team, I mean, the first and foremost thing, forget about yards allowed or whatever, where you're ranked. The bottom line is the other team scoring? And that's one of the areas when you think about what this Titans defense has been able to do, especially even early on when the offense was struggling. It gave the Titans the opportunity to be in these games, to win these kind of games.
Well, absolutely. I mean, what the defense did in Cleveland helped them pull out that win, because that was a tight game until, you know, they had that little spurt there, and part of that was a pick six by Malcolm Butler. You know, and the 75-yard screen to Derrick Henry, yes, but, you know, the defense was a huge part of that game, the sacks and just getting the Browns off center and helped turn the tide in that game. And then, you know, shoot, at Atlanta, you know, a desperate Falcons team trying to get back on track at home, and, you know, they kind of helped smother them as the offense, you know, showed signs of life early in that game. So, yeah, the offense has been tremendous. I mean, you know, let's face it. And here's a stat that, you know, the Titans have been scoring so well over these 6 weeks. They're now up to 15 in the NFL in scoring. So when you've got an offense that can score like that with a defense that can just keep people out of the end zone, you know, if you're averaging 19.5 points a game, which is what the Titans are right now, guess what? that makes it easier for the offense to go out and get some points and puts you in position to win games.
By the way, Florida State still has an opening as far as their head coaching vacancy, and one of the individuals that it could be the individual getting named to fill that spot, he's coaching in a game over at the Liberty Bowl on Saturday for the American Athletic Conference title as they take on Cincinnati again. Mike Norvell, do you think he goes? And if he does, what does that mean for Memphis football?
Well, when Justin Fuente left for Virginia Tech, that question was being asked, oh, my God, what is this going to do to Memphis football? And Mike Norvell showed that if you hire the right guy, that they can come in and build on that, and that's exactly what he's done. I mean, they've won three straight West Division titles in the American Athletic Conference. They're ranked 16 right now. They're playing for a title on Saturday at home, and if they win that, then they're most likely going to the Cotton Bowl, no matter who they play, you know, a New Year's Six Bowl, although it's being played on December 28th this year, which is kind of funny and a little disconcerting, but it's called a New Year's Six Bowl. So that success that people did not expect out of Memphis when Fuente left Virginia Tech, there was an, oh, my God, what's going to happen next? They hired Norvell, and he's managed to just simply build on what's there. He's shown what is possible in Memphis with that program, and you know, and the fact that Penny's got the Memphis basketball is ranked 15th, the football team is 16th, and they're getting an awful lot of attention down there for their athletics program. They had College Game Day there a month ago, so you know, things are absolutely possible there with the right coach, and that's the thing. Mike Norvell is dealing from a position of power, because you know, he can look around and say, you know what, if he doesn't, you know, if Florida State's not what he wants, he can always, you know, or, yes, Arkansas has been mentioned with him because his wife's from Arkansas, an hour or so away from Little Rock, or Ole Miss, because, of course, Memphis is just a stone's throw from Oxford. But, you know, if he could sit back and say, you know what, I've done this, you know, for 4 years, changing cast, brought in talent, my system's working. You know, he could also roll the dice and say, let's see what's open next year, and see if I can maybe get a better opportunity. So, and yes, I've seen the scuttlebutt on social media, Johnny, that, you know, maybe Florida State's just waiting until that coach who has a game on Saturday, you know, finishes his game to make that announcement. So I will say this, the way Mike Norvell, he's putting on a little bit of a clinic on how coaches who are, you know, doing that next job dance can handle it really nicely, because he's managed to walk the line of being very focused on this week, and while deflecting and pointing out the fact that, you know, what we're doing here is why we're getting this attention.
Well, they do already have everything set up, ready to go, as far as for an announcement coming up this weekend down in Tallahassee. The only thing we don't know is what time and who that person is going to be. But knowing Matt Campbell, looks like he's going to stay at Iowa State. Looks like James Franklin's not doing anything except getting a pay raise. And so, for me, it looks like Mike Norvell, leader in the clubhouse.
It certainly seems that way, and you know, but you know, shoot, there's still some people clinging to the idea that Bob Stoops is going to be the next Seminoles coach, matter how much he gets that down.
That's not going to happen. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But that's why this time of year is the silly season, and shoot, even the NFL is getting out on top of it. You know, firing Ron Rivera today.
Yeah, good point. All right, so Tennessee, 7-5. To me, the most critical thing about this, by, you know, besides being bowl eligible, just the extra practice time that Jeremy Pruitt is going to have with his squad leading up to a bowl game, which, oh, by the way, the nice reward, they're either playing in Jacksonville or playing in Tampa in one of those two bowl games. But the bottom line is, nice reward for a team that started off 1-4.
Wait a minute, Johnny. Did you see the story that the Music City Bowl also wants Tennessee?
I've seen that. I understand.
Scott Ramsey is going to be very upset with you if you don't point that out. So the fact of the matter is, a good thing for the Tennessee Vols is they're wanted. That's what happens when you go on a run to finish the season and you get to 7 wins. You win 5 straight. You know, there is an upset over Mississippi State. You know, so you know, there's some good wins in there. But you're absolutely right. No matter what the bowl is, Jeremy Pruitt, you know, a lot of young guys, they get a lot of, the bowl practice time. The bowl game's nice. That the swag that these kids get and everything, that's nice. But you know what matters most for the coaches and the program is the extra practice time, you know, so that they can, you know, you've got all this tape now, you can tweak, you can refine, you can, you know, now guys have, you know, the light's starting to go on and you can maybe help, you know, fine tune that a little bit, and gives you a jump start on spring practice and next season. And that's where, you know, let's face it, that's what Tennessee needs badly. And that's why, you know, conversely on West End, why people, you know, you can be a little upset, because, you know, that's something that they got last year, and they weren't able at Vanderbilt to build off of that extra practice time that they had a year ago. You know, and you can point the blame not having a quarterback all you want, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Derek Mason builds this offseason to get his program back up, because, it, you know, the clock's ticking.
And by the way, as far as the Music City Bowl, if it's not Tennessee, you know, Kentucky will bring folks. Mississippi State fans will bring folks as well. So I think the bowl will be just fine this year.
Yeah, but, you know, again, Kentucky has been here an awful lot. Probably not Kentucky. You know, and we'll see if it's Mississippi State, you know, will they get as excited if they don't get to, you know, play against Ole Miss?
Yeah.
You know,
that's, you had to go there. How much does it hurt Vanderbilt not having the practice sessions? Because a team that certainly you would think could use it, they're not bowl eligible. They will not have that opportunity.
A bunch. I mean, that's the thing. Look at how many young people that he had, you know, playing on defense down the stretch. You know, when he held out Keyshawn Vaughn out of the second half, you know, nice move, because, you know, that game was out of control. You know, it didn't feel like Vanderbilt was going to have a chance to come back in that game. Why pound this young man who is going to the Senior Bowl and, you know, had an injury? You don't aggravate that. So, smart move, but, you know, you got a freshman some playing time, and he had a, you know, career high, you know, what was it, 70 yards? But you don't have a chance to suddenly take that, get a little breather, and then get back out on the field. They're not going to be back on the field, what, the end of February, 1st of March? And, you know, these are kids, you know, shoot, I can't get my son to remember what I told him 5 minutes ago, let alone 5 weeks ago. So, you know, that's the thing. You miss the chance to move on. But, you know, on the other hand, maybe this is good, because Derek Mason has made it clear that there's going to be some changes. And, you know, the biggest change you've got to make is find a quarterback.
Teresa Walker joining us tonight. The Nashville Predators, the first of three straight games at Bridgestone Arena tonight is Tampa Bay. Here's the two teams that won the President's Trophy the last 2 years. Nashville 2 years ago, Tampa Bay last season. And oh, by the way, both of these teams find themselves in similar situations coming into this game tonight. In the Atlantic Division, Tampa Bay, 6 of 8 teams. There's only two teams below them. But from the glass half-full standpoint, there are only 4 points out of second place there in the Atlantic Division. And a similar kind of situation with the Nashville Predators. They're tied as far as next to last with Minnesota, only Chicago worse than them in the Central. However, entering play tonight, Nashville only 6 points out of second in the Central.
Well, and it's apparently Kyle Turris's night to return after, you know, shoot, I've lost track of how many games he'd been a healthy scratch. So, you know, he's going to have a chance to get on the ice. I'm thinking he's going to be a little motivated to show what he can bring to the table for the Predators or anyone else that's out there. So, you know, we'll see. The Predators are coming off a kind of an ugly loss. You know, they had the nice win in Carolina, shutout for Pekka, you know, big career win for him. And then they turn around and kind of stumble on the road. So after that, now they can try to build on this. If you go out there and win tonight, then the last game was just a blip. And yes, maybe Kyle Turris does some things to, you know, to make everyone happy. And, you know, I'm very curious to see what they do coming forward, because now they got, what, 3 games at home. We'll see if they can build some momentum, because, you know, let's face it, we just haven't seen them do that. And, you know, building momentum right now is a good thing, if only to put that horrible skid in the distant rearview mirror.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, that losing streak and that stretch that we're talking about, you know, last month. I mean, you're not going to be able to recover from that if you're winning a game, losing a game, winning a game, losing a game. You need some consistency. You need to be able to put together, it doesn't even have to be a long winning streak, just be able to put together something you can call a winning streak to bounce back from, you know, that stretch we're talking about.
Exactly. And, you know, just start stringing some stuff together. You don't have to go on a 10-game winning streak. But, you know, that whole thing of, you know, like win every 2 of 3. You know, that kind of gets you into a bit of a rhythm. And then at a certain point, yes, the team should be able to put together more than a few and get on a little bit of a run. We saw it early this season, and that is absolutely possible for them to get on again. And, you know, that's the thing. You get on a little bit of a run, you climb those standings faster, but you got to keep throwing in wins here and there just so that you don't get shuffled back into the pack, to steal a NASCAR phrase.
I like that, especially with the fact that a lot of NASCAR folks are in town this week. So
exactly.
Nice little play on words right there for you. Touche. All right, before we let you go, remind the listeners again the different ways to keep up with all your coverage.
Like me on Facebook. Like my page on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Do both at Teresa M. Walker.
And when you like her her page on Facebook, then you can love her all of her posts.
Exactly.
You got to take the extra effort, though. You can't just hit click and like. You got to actually hold it down and keep it held down until the different ones pop up, and then you can put the big like heart thing on the post.
Hey, click it, read it, and love it. I like all those options.
Have a great week. We appreciate you as always, Teresa.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you. Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Open segment if you'd like to be a part of the show and weigh in. 615-844-5600. 844-5600. This segment brought to you by friends with Lanham's AC Service. You know, whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months, because, you know, we got a little taste of it again yesterday. The cold weather is upon us. But here's the thing, too. We're talking about year-round coverage. You know, if you need to cool off during the hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service, your local Rude Pro partner. From heating and cooling issues, they even do water heaters as well. You can count on Lanham's AC Service and Rude HVAC equipment with a system that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business. And look, I should know, I have a new Rude unit in my house, and I've been a loyal customer of Lanham's AC Service now for almost a decade. Here's the other thing, too. They do it with the name brands like Rude you have come to trust. And remember, financing is available, and they service and repair all brands. So call today to schedule a service or maintenance call. Let them know your friends here at Nashville Sports Radio sent you. 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
Good afternoon. It's quite heavy, but it's moving now. 65 southbound, passing Harding Place, making your way down into Williamson County through Brentwood, Franklin, all the way to Spring Hill. 40 eastbound near Church Street. That's an accident. We moved to the side, wrapping up that rink at Murfreesboro Pike and Donaldson Pike. Still heavy traffic up Ellington Parkway right now, and also on 65 up through Madison. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart fare, save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
You know when you gotta be somewhere, it's like really urgent? You don't want to do it over the phone. Some things just can't be said with an LOL or an OMG. Some things just need to be done IRL. So you're getting your Nissan Altima and drive. Feel the VC turbo engine instantly react to give you more power and efficiency so you can get where you need to go.
Eric, what are you doing here?
Like.
Huh?
Your social post. I liked it.
Oh, thank you. You know, there's a button for that, right?
I do.
The Nissan Altima, now offering the most tech-advanced engine in its class. This is tech that helps you be there. This is Nissan Intelligent Mobility. Auto Pacific segmentation. 2020 Altima Platinum versus latest in-market competitors in the premium midsize class. Available feature. World's first production variable compression turbo engine launched by Nissan Motor Company Limited in 2018.
Let me tell you about my good friend Kenneth. He has the site, which is soulstreetcoffee.com. 8 different blends, 16 teas on there. And he is the exclusive sponsor of Kevin Hagan every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, talking Alabama football, Alabama sports. That's soulstreetcoffee.com. I need you to order now. It is a fantastic product. You will absolutely love it. That's soulstreetcoffee.com.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Tri-State Forecast. Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan Forecast. This afternoon, we'll have a mix of clouds and sun with a high of 48. Partly cloudy tonight, low 32. Wednesday, sunny, high 56. Sunny Thursday, high 56. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole-Hall Studios. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show. By the way, if you don't want to do dinner tonight, let Penn Station East Coast Subs take care of it for you. Located in Hermitage. Also, don't forget the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. All this month, try the delicious chicken parmesan sub with fresh cut fries and drink at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste. You know, it's hard to believe, by the way. Coming up tonight, if we have Predict Nation Radio from 6 to 7, and I'm sure Crazy Charlie and the gang gets into this as well, but the two teams that won over the last 2 years won the President's Trophy, you know, Nashville 2 seasons ago, last year Tampa Bay, the fact that, you know, both of them find themselves in this situation tonight where they're both near the bottom of the division. Now, the part about it, you know, with a win tonight by either one of these two squads, we're talking about a chance to quickly rebound and put yourself in a situation where you can start leapfrogging some teams like Tampa Bay, although only Ottawa and Detroit behind them in the Atlantic Division. Speaking of which, Detroit, 7-20-3. They only have 17 points through 30 games. They're wow. Almost halfway through. We're talking about... we're nearing the halfway point. They got 17 points. But here's Tampa Bay with 27. They're 4 points out of second, you know, because you got Florida, Buffalo, Toronto, Montreal, all ahead of Tampa Bay, but all of them 4 or fewer points ahead of Tampa Bay entering this game tonight. And then from the Nashville Predators standpoint, yeah, there's only one team worse, and that's Chicago with 3 fewer points than both Nashville and Minnesota. But Nashville, you have Colorado, Winnipeg, Dallas, 2, 3, and 4. Those are the teams that are ahead of the Predators. So quickly, that's why you look at this 3-game home stretch starting tonight with Tampa Bay, how quickly Nashville then could all of a sudden start climbing up the Central again.
Yeah, they really need to come away with a big win tonight against Tampa Bay, which I think is probably the easier one of the three. And then if they can somehow get the last two, they really need to go 3-0 here, Johnny. I feel like if not, at least go get five out of the six points, or maybe 4 out of 6. But anything close lower than that, it's going to be tough for this team.
Well, you look at the last five, and they've got wins in 3 of the last 5, but in the last 3, 2 losses with only 1 victory. And that's the whole point. You've got to get more of that consistency, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 5, whatever. But, you know, you've got to avoid especially with that stretch that the Predators saw themselves facing and having to overcome back earlier in the month of November. You can't, you know, go at least they're not giving up touchdown type of scores as far as goals is
very
concerned.
True.
We don't see sevens. We don't see nines out there. We don't hear jokes about the other team. The Preds settled for a field goal, and the other team's scoring a touchdown. At least we're not getting those jokes in recent games.
Yeah, I mean, that's one good thing about it. But, I mean, still, they've done better defensively. Now they got to find their offense.
All right, coming up, a chance to check in now that the regular season has finished as far as the Tennessee Vols. The Vols then starting prepare as far as bowl game. Could it be Nashville? Could it be Jacksonville? Could it be Tampa? But, you know, the thoughts also final bow on the game on Saturday between Tennessee and Vanderbilt and how that all played out too. Any repercussions with Juwan Jennings. Still waiting, by the way, to actually hear from Juwan Jennings as far as how things played out too on Saturday. But Ryan Callahan will also talk recruiting and how this surge after the 1-4 start, the fact that the Tennessee Vols found themselves winners of 6 out of their last 7. Ryan Callahan with Go Vols 24/7. He'll be joining us on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Still heavy traffic out here trying to get through the construction zone here on 440 eastbound at the 65 split. Franklin Pike at Norwood, that's one of the latest accidents with injuries down in Oak Hill. And also Glen Levin there at Franklin, that's also a crash. 65 really heavy to the north, especially passing OHB, making your way up through Madison right now. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart Fare save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, the most romantic steakhouse in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, that's good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Oh, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Happy holidays, honey.
Ooh, what is it?
Just open it.
Is it a holiday luck instant game?
I don't know.
It sounds like, is that a $20,000 holiday cheer game? Hold up, you didn't. No, do I hear a merry money and a holiday gifts instant game? All instant games?
Do you love it?
Best presents ever!
Make every gift a little brighter with holiday instant games only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing holiday celebrating fun. Please play responsibly.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. I'll click Grainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. This segment brought to you by Brinkman's Wine and Spirit there in Brentwood. If you haven't found their new location, located at 7110 Town Center Way, is just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Brinkman's Wine and spirits. Chance talks some Tennessee Vols right now. Going back to the hotline, Ryan Callahan joins us with GoVols247.com. Ryan, hope you had a great weekend. Hope you avoided the bad weather and all the rain. And as always, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Johnny, thanks for having me.
All right, first things first, what were your major takeaways from Tennessee's win on Saturday against Vanderbilt?
Well, sloppy day, obviously. The rain naturally had a pretty big impact on the game. You had a couple of weather delays that sort of, I think, took everybody out of any sort of rhythm to begin the game because the game was delayed right after Senior Day festivities. So you had to go back in the locker room, come back out, for some of the players anyway. And then yeah, it's a little bit slow to get started. They had an early turnover, but were able to recover from it. And the rest of the game, you know, not a great day for offenses, but Tennessee was able to run the ball when they needed to, and that's something they'd struggled with for most of the season. Obviously found a pretty forgiving Vanderbilt defense that allowed them to do that. Vanderbilt struggled to stop the run all year, and that was that was definitely a key in this game, as Eric Gray, obviously the freshman running back from Memphis, had a breakout performance, huge game, breaking the UT true freshman record set by Jamal Lewis more than 20 years ago. So impressive that they were able to sort of do that and adjust under the circumstances, but obviously not their sharpest performance, but they took care of business and you know, didn't quite cover the spread as they'd been doing recently, but still with a comfortable win over a team they hadn't beaten in 3 years. Just they were obviously happy to get back on the right side of the win column in that series after not having beaten Vanderbilt in the last three meetings.
You know, we're a couple of weeks away from the signing date as far as in this month. And when you think about Tennessee, their 1-4 start and the fact that they won 6 out of their last 7 to wrap up the regular season, have you noticed any trends how that impacted, you know, as far as from a commitment standpoint or other recruits showing interest now in Tennessee with the way this team finished in the second half of the year?
Yeah, this is the way I've kind of described it. I don't think that it's a development that's likely to cause players that weren't looking at Tennessee before to look at them now all of a sudden just because they've won some games. Because the reality is most of the teams they're competing against and recruiting are already going to bowl games themselves, maybe even have better records than Tennessee in some cases. So that's not true of everyone, obviously, but most teams out there that the Tennessee's going head-to-head with on the recruiting trail are bowl teams. So it doesn't necessarily give you a leg up, but what it does do, I think, is show most of the longtime Tennessee targets that things are headed in the right direction. You know, if there's an in-state player, and there are a few that are still on Tennessee's board, you know, Tyler Barron locally, a 4-star defensive end, Omari Thomas, for instance, a guy who's announcing his decision next week, a 4-star defensive lineman from Memphis. Guys like that who've been looking at Tennessee for a long time, they might have had some concerns about Tennessee early in the season, and now that they've addressed them, I think it's taken away any cause for concern that they had that might have, you know, maybe prevented them from going to Tennessee or at least given them some pause about that. So I think that does help them in recruiting down the stretch with those guys who've been looking at them a long time. You know, as far as any bump they might get from that, I think you're more likely to see that with the 2021 class as the calendar turns to next year. And especially if Tennessee can win a bowl game wherever they do end up heading, you know, if they could finish with an 8-win season, that really would give them something to sell. I mean, I think they'll still have this to sell either way, having a 2-game improvement from last year, but to finish with that kind of win streak and maybe a nice bowl win over perhaps a named opponent, we'll see who they play. But if they can get a game like that and win it, that would certainly speak volumes, I think, and be able to help them sell throughout the offseason that, hey, this is a program clearly trending in the right direction and maybe just a year or two away from being able to do some big things.
All right, help me here. With regards to looking at Tennessee, right now you have them currently ranked 20th as far as the latest team rankings as far as this year's signing class. Which is great when you think about 130 teams, Tennessee right now in the top 20, until you look at it further and realize that 6 teams from the SEC are ranked in the top 10, and even South Carolina, a 7th team from the SEC, also ranked ahead of Tennessee at this point. So to me, either you got to do a better job of recruiting and get yourself moving up more so in these rankings, or you have to do that much better of a job as far as coaching up these recruits when they arrive on campus.
Yeah, this is sort of the challenge when you're building back a program. It's sort of the chicken or egg thing. One thing's got to come before the other, and it doesn't matter which one, but you either have to sort of overachieve when you maybe don't have the talent to win a lot of games, or you have to start recruiting a little bit better than your record allows you to in some cases. And we saw that a little bit with Tennessee under Butch Jones. I think the results last year for Jeremy Pruitt were pretty good. He had a number 12 recruiting class. this year, you know, it looks like they're going to have to do some work down the stretch to have a top 15 class. So not maybe the growth that fans would like to see there, because I know the expectations are always high. But I think given what Tennessee dealt with this year, and certainly the negativity they had at the beginning of the season to sort of overcome, I think a top 15 or so class would be pretty good. And it just depends on who they get down the stretch. You know, I think you always look more at are you getting guys that you really wanted for a long time? Are you having to settle for backup plans? I think that's the kind of thing that really tells the tale. And rankings still can change quite a bit. You know, Tennessee's likely to add seven or so more players to its class, so other teams might be closer to capacity, and that's why they're ranked ahead in some cases. So we'll see where Tennessee ends up. But they do have some work to do down the stretch. If they finish well, though, and get some of the top guys they're wanting, like the two in-state guys I mentioned a minute ago, if they can get some guys like that, I think they'll be okay. And it's just a matter of making sure you hit on your evaluation, something the previous staff didn't do in the long run. If this staff can continue to evaluate well, which they think is one of their strengths, then I think this will be the type of class that will allow them to build the roster much closer to where they want it to be over the next year or two.
Ryan Callahan joins us again from Knoxville with GoVols247.com. A question for you. As far as the way the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game played out, and certainly got ugly there with Juwan Jennings' situation, my question is this. Is it something that maybe we're making too big a deal out of it, or is it a situation where more should have been made out of it from both schools?
It was a little bit interesting that nothing really was mentioned by Derek Mason or anyone that I heard certainly after the game. I thought it might be something that caused some feelings to be hurt, but maybe it was the type of thing where some of the people involved might not have gotten a great look at it at the time and need to see replays before they wanted to comment on it. But either way, I think it's something that could come up certainly in the coming days and weeks. You know, Tennessee's coaches and players haven't been made available to media since Saturday night right after the game. So I think the next time Jeremy Pruitt talks, there's always a chance it could come up, and we'll see how they address it then. You know, the tough thing to tell in situations like that sometimes is intent. It certainly wasn't a good-looking play. I don't know that you can say it was definitely intentional just based on what we see, but it was bad enough that there's got to be at least some question as to whether it was intentional, and regardless of whether it was the type of thing that really could have injured somebody. So it's got to be concerning, you know, as far as how Tennessee handles it. I don't know, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if we hear more about it, you know, even if it's just something next year as this game approaches. I think we'll definitely hear more about that at some point, whether it's some players on the Vanderbilt side being upset by it or Tennessee, you know, having to take some action maybe because they're not happy about it.
You know, sometimes there's programs out there, and it's hard to judge, you know, what their attitudes are like after a regular season, and then they're, qualified for a bowl game. You know, if you had to gauge where this Tennessee team is, I look at the way they played in those the last seven games with those six victories, the fact that, you know, they were showing up ready to go even in that loss against Alabama, for example, is a team that was still buying in. With that said, you know, how when you look at the extra practice sessions leading up to a bowl game, whether it's here in Nashville or Jacksonville or in Tampa, for example, what does that mean for this football program moving forward, especially with that preparation in the month of December?
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's hard to overstate in some cases the opportunity for additional development during those bowl practices. On the other hand, you know, we've seen some of those before. We thought the same thing with the 2015 and 2016 Tennessee teams, that they might really benefit from the bowl practices. And I think in some cases it helps, in some cases it doesn't. It just depends on what the team situation is. But because this team has a lot of young players, and some of them didn't really play a lot of games this year or didn't play a huge role in a lot of games, that does give you more of a chance to develop those guys before spring practice. So I think that is hard to overstate in some cases, and if they make the most of it, I think it could be a really good thing for them. And the perception to me is the biggest thing. You know, they to have started the year the way they did. If you told me in late September that Tennessee would make a bowl game, I would have said that's a remarkable recovery. To know that they started 1-4 and were able to come back and go 7-5 after all of that is really impressive to me, because with all the negativity you deal with when you're an SEC program starting that way. It's hard to get it back sometimes. It's hard to get everyone else to buy in, and it's really easy for players to sort of check out and buy into the negativity and think this coaching staff, you know, doesn't have things going in the right direction and sort of tune them out. So to be able to recover I think it makes a big difference perception-wise. And again, if they can take it a step further and get to 8 wins, and how much preseason hype is there going to be for Tennessee next year? As maybe not a team ready to compete for championships in the SEC, but certainly a team on the rise. They're not going to be seen as a bottom-tier team going into next season now because of the way they've taken a step forward this year and finished with 6 wins in their final 7 games.
Let's turn our attention to the hard courts before we let you go. You know, here's Tennessee right now, 21st in one poll, 20th in the other as far as the coaches poll this week after suffering their only loss. I got to throw that out there since they lost to my alma mater, Florida State. But, you know, is this team certainly at this point, it seems like they're exceeding expectations early on through these first 7 games.
Yeah, I think in some cases, yeah, that's probably true nationally. I think locally the perception of them has been that this might be still at least a bubble team for the NCAA tournament purposes, and that this is a young team with some things to work out clearly in the first half of the season at least, but with enough talent and enough returning experience that you can't rule out that they could still be right there in the mix by the time March rolls around. So I think they're coming along nicely. Certainly that win over Washington early on up in Canada was a big deal to have a win like that against a named program that was ranked at the time. And that was a game Tennessee, I think, thought it had a real chance of winning, but still a big boost of confidence to that team. The Florida State loss, certainly not their finest moment, shot a really low percentage in that game. A lot of lessons they can take from that game. But to be able to rebound and knock off VCU with the buzzer beater there by Lamonte Turner, another boost for this team, I think, to show them they can beat some pretty good programs, even with all they lost from last year. So I think they're off to a pretty nice start and, you know, maybe exceeding some people's expectations a little bit, but certainly showing that they're not going to fall off the map completely, even after losing really, you know, most of their best players from a year ago.
Well, Kentucky, Auburn, right now the two teams from the SEC ranked ahead of Tennessee in both of the top 25 rankings, and just below them, bubbling outside the top 25, you have the Florida Gators. You also have Arkansas. Is that about right as far as where Tennessee is, as far as the pecking order in the SEC?
I think so for now. I mean, I think they probably end up being a top 5 SEC team for sure. It's just a matter to me of whether they can stay up there just behind the Kentuckys and Auburns of the league. You know, this really should be more of a transitional year for Tennessee in a way, and maybe the last one they have for a couple of years if they can take advantage of the talent they have coming in their 2020 recruiting class. But they do have some questions to answer this year. You know, you still don't know, is Lamonte Turner a good enough, consistent enough scorer to sort of carry this team at times when he has to? Can Jordan Bowden take that next step as a scorer and become a more consistent threat? He's been pretty good so far, but still needs to do it a little more consistently. Can Eve Pons keep this up? As a talented young wing, he's off to a great start as a scorer, and it really has taken a step offensively. John Fulkerson as well in the post. And can this team get by against teams that are going to have a size advantage? You know, they're not particularly strong inside. That's going to be an issue more so against some teams than against others, but so far they've gotten by with it okay for the most part. So there's still some big questions they've got to answer, but and to me they still got to develop more depth too. They're really only played 6 or 7 players in a lot of these more important games, so they haven't been able to use their bench. They need to develop some reliable depth. We've seen Tennessee have some teams that have worn down a little bit under Rick Barnes, playing 7 or 8 players for most of the time. They need to change that this year if they can, because I think they'll eventually wear down in March, as they've shown being a young team especially.
Ryan, before we let you go, let the listeners know again what they can expect when they go to govols247.com.
Well, it's a big time of year for recruiting, so tons of recruiting coverage right now, tons of basketball coverage also, football. Even though the coaches are on the road recruiting right now, they'll get back to bowl prep here pretty soon and find out Tennessee's bowl destination on Sunday. So lots to follow right now on govols247. This is the final day of our Cyber Monday sale. Get 75% off an annual subscription, one of the best sales we've ever offered. I don't know if it was offered a better one. So great chance to sign up for the site if you're a Tennessee fan or any other fan for that matter. Just go to 247sports.com. Or for Tennessee fans, go to govols247.com to take advantage of that sale tonight.
You stole my thunder. I was getting ready to throw that in there in case you didn't.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the heads up.
Not a problem.
Keeping us in mind.
All right, Ron, have a great rest of the week. We'll talk soon, but we appreciate you as always.
Thanks a lot, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Ryan Callahan. Once again, the site, govols247.com, part of the 24/7 Sports family. This segment brought to you by Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. Is that Christmas time? A lot of holiday parties. Could be birthday parties. Could be viewing parties. Whatever the case may be. Or you could just be looking for a nice bottle of wine for dinner. Either way, you can't go wrong with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, where they have a great selection of wines and spirits to choose from. Here's the thing. You'll notice it when you walk through the doors. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, they'll make you feel welcomed, appreciated. Plus, you'll tell, and you can certainly notice their passion for personal service, as they'll help with any kind of questions that you may have. They'll assist you so you can make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. Here's the thing, too. Speaking of the holiday season, if you're looking for gift ideas, they can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. So rediscover Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, located at 7110 Town Center Way, is just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better, Brinkman's.
Well, good afternoon. Still heavy traffic out here trying to get through the construction zone here on 440 eastbound at the 65 split. Franklin Pike at Norwood, that's one of the latest accidents with injuries down in Oak Hill. And also Glen Leven there at Franklin, that's also a crash. 65 really heavy to the north, especially passing OHB, making your way up through Madison right now. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart fare save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kaloudis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com, my friend Bill Kaloudis, and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Looking ahead to the conference championship games in the Power 5 leagues this upcoming weekend, Friday, Pac-12 championship. Utah sitting as 6-point favorites against Oregon. Then on Saturday, Big 12 championship, Oklahoma 9-point favorites against Baylor. SEC championship game, LSU 7.5-point favorites against Georgia. ACC championship, Clemson 28.5-point favorites against Virginia. And in the Big 10 championship game, number one Ohio State 16.5-point favorites against Wisconsin.
For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. I'm Matt Pauly. This has been your Action Update on Nashville Sports Radio.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
If you got a first-time head coach, that person should be smart enough to put experience on the defensive side of the ball and also on the offensive side of the ball. The offensive side, first 2 years, individuals who have never called a single play in the NFL ever. And yet, what are we looking at? Another person who has never called a single play in the NFL.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson broadcasting out of the Geigen Cole Hall Studios. Big thanks to our visitors who joined us today. Scott Ramsey, President, CEO of the Nashville Sports Council and the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl coming up on Sunday, We'll know exactly where everybody is playing as far as the bowl season is concerned. In fact, coming up tonight after 6, we'll have the latest rankings, the next to last one as far as from the College Football Playoff Committee. Get a pretty good idea of, you know, we're not going to really see any changes 1 through 4 necessarily, but we'll know exactly that pecking order, the three teams that are waiting to see if Georgia loses, the team that has the best chance to move into that fourth and final spot. But that gets released tonight after 6. Also, thanks to Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville as we talked Titans, the Preds, Vandy, and the Vols. And speaking of the Vols, Ryan Callahan as well joined us from Knoxville with GoVols247.com. Coming up next, the Prednik Nation Radio, another segment with Crazy Charlie Sagne and his guests getting you ready as the Preds tonight at home, Bridgestone Arena. Puck drops just after 7 as they take on Tampa Bay. Also, don't forget, start your morning off with the Bill King Show tomorrow morning from 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and the John Burton Show from 9 to 11. Then Jim Rome comes your way from 11 to 2. And right before us, the George Plaster Show from 2 to 4. We'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon at 4. For Jay Henson, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have an incredible night, everybody, and do us a favor and make it count.